Amen.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm so glad to be found in the house of the Lord once again. The Lord has been so great. The Lord has been so wonderful. And what I can say this morning is you just don't know what the Lord has done for me. I don't know what the Lord has done for you, but whatever He has done for you and I, we need to praise the name of the Lord. We need to give praise to the name of the Lord. So, for He has done so great things in our lives. You may not see it, but He has done so great things in your lives. And because of that, I want to dedicate my life to Him. I want to dedicate my life to His service. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When we are come in the house of God, we lay aside all the burdens that we have. We ask the Lord to arrest every thought that is contrary to His word, that might stand in our way. We ask Him to lay them aside. So we have not come to meet man, but we have come to meet our Lord and Savior. We have come to fellowship at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be His name. Amen.
Amen.
Last week we looked at a few things. We talked about how children of God gather together to feast upon the word of God. As eaglets, we saw how a child of God must have a vision as good as an eagle. Amen.
Amen.
This moment in time, we are going to move on to look at something very common. A scripture that is widely read. A story that we usually tell. I want to take the reading out of the book of Judges. Judges chapter
13.
In our own free time, we may read Judges chapter 13 onwards. But I want to bring to your attention this story. The story that is well known about Samson. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm going to give this little sharing a title as Keeping a good
company.
Amen.
Amen.
May we be upstanding as we read from the book of Judges. We can read from 13, Judges chapter 13, verses, let's see, 13. Judges chapter 13. Verses 1. You may read, brother.
Kavidi abana bakwa Israeli Amen.
Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, here we are, Lord. We're asking that, Father, may you come down and take over the service, Lord. Add your blessings, Father. Add your anointing, Father, even unto your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We may take our seats. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord again. Amen.
Amen.
Now, where they came from, they saw mighty things that happened to them. When they were enslaved in the land of Egypt, they were in the world. They were under the captivity of the devil. And God's redemption power took them out of the land of Egypt and brought them out to a land that was promised unto them. And through the process of time, they saw so many great things that God did for them. When the Egyptians pursued them, God opened the Red Sea, and the Bible says they passed on dry land. At that, you know, it sounds common, because we've read it so many times. But at that moment, it was quite a great miracle that happened. Sometimes we see it as normal because we read it and we've read it several times. So God protected them in those lines. He made them pass through the Red Sea. At one point they were hungry, and God provided for their needs. Those were great miracles. At one point they were thirsty. God provided water from nowhere. But those were great, great miracles that happened. But at this point in time, the Bible says they did evil in the sight of God. They were so rebellious, so contentious, that they forgot what God did for them in their lives. I want to encourage you this morning that where we have come from, God has done so many things. And do not contend with God. Humble yourself and he will guide you. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of God. Now, when they did this evil, you know, sometimes they would tend to idol worshipping and belief, doing all sorts of things that were unpleasant before God. But you know, to anything, every sin, every disobedience, there is a consequence. And the Bible says, God delivered them into the hands of the Philistines.
Amen.
Amen.
And when the Philistine came, practically speaking, the children of Israel were enslaved again.
Amen.
They started ruling them. The Philistines had gained mastery over the children of Israel. Amen.
Amen.
So Samson's life teaches us several things. It teaches us extraordinary strength. It also teaches us human weakness. And it also teaches us God's redemption power. Now, what happens after they had been delivered into the hands of the Philistines? Shall they continue in bondage? God is a merciful God. The same God who allowed the Philistines to take over the children of Israel. Has to create a way of redeeming back his children. He has to create a way of buying back his children. Amen.
Amen.
Now, though flawed, Samson's life also teaches us a lot of things. Discipline, trust, including redemption itself, like I said before. Amen.
Amen.
Now, who is Samson?
Samson nan.
Samson was a Nazirite by birth.
Samson ari mu Naziri mukufyalwa.
That is what the Bible tells us.
Now,
who is a Nazirite? A Nazirite is a consecrated. Consecrated one. Separated one. Someone who is set apart. Someone who is a vessel for the service of God. Amen.
Amen.
And he was, the Bible says, he was consecrated even before his birth. Amen.
Amen.
When his parents were working in the field, you know, here is a couple, never had a child before. The Bible says Samson's mother, or Manoah's wife, was barren. She never had children before. And God visited her. And as they were working, God spoke to her to say, "You shall have a child. This one is going to be a consecrated one. He shall be a Nazirite. He shall save the children of Israel from the hands of the Philistine."
Amen.
I want to encourage you. I don't know what your prayer is. Keep on believing.
Amen.
Now, I believe Manoah's wife was being mocked. You know how it is. I think women would attest to this. There's a lot of talk that goes on when a woman is barren, so much so that it really affects that person. I believe this was the case with Manoah's wife. I believe the couple was ridiculed. Manoah had a lot of voices. Why can't you just put her away? Amen.
Amen.
So many voices were pouring in, but he chose to ignore. Because at an appointed time, Manoah's wife was carrying a seed. Manoah's wife was carrying a redeemer, one who is going to redeem the children of Israel. Amen. So I want to encourage you, no matter how long it takes, for whatever you are praying about, keep on praying, keep on believing. Because at an appointed time, God shall remember his word and he shall grant it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
She continued, this morning, the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman. They've said so many things. They've called you names. But what you are carrying, what you are about to carry, is a seed that is extraordinary. That is from above. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When the children of Israel continued in that bondage, they were hopeless. They were hopeless. By the moment you are hopeless, as long as you are a child of God, God has a plan for you. That you must know. God has not forgotten. Because his word is more important. Amen. He cannot forget about you. The Philistines continued to persecute the children of Israel. And the children of Israel had no choice. Somehow, they accepted it. Amen.
Amen.
So about Samson,
but Samson,
God gave him an order. God spoke to the woman and said, this child that shall be born shall be a Nazarite. Let no razor touch his hair. Amen.
Amen.
That was consecration. That was the condition for Samson to execute God's service.
Says,
let no razor touch his hair. And when Samson was born, he was a normal kid. He was growing up full of strength. But I want to tell you something that, those big muscles that you see in Samson, they were nothing without the word of God. Those big biceps you see were nothing without the word of God. Because the Bible says, when the power of God came, it means the power was not with Samson all the time. Amen. So the power could only come when it was time to execute God's service.
Amen.
So he was just a normal person. Going about. But when God wanted him to execute his service, the power came, anointed those big muscles, and fought the enemy. Amen.
Amen.
No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. The power came from God. His hair was a symbol of God's word. His hair was a symbol of God's word. Now, if this hair was a symbol of the word of God, Samson needed not to remove this word of God. The condition was that once the hair is cut, then Samson remains naked. Samson remains without any power. Samson can be tossed here and there because the power of God has departed. It is the same thing with us children of God. The word of God is a symbol of power. What we have received, which is the word of God, that is our symbol of power. And you must not remove it. You must not put aside the word of God. Because once you put the word of God aside, it means you've cut off the hair that is there for your protection. You have removed the very consecration, the word that protects you. Amen.
Amen.
So, what are we learning from here? We are learning that the word of God should be the ultimate goal of our lives. The talents or resources, the gifts, opportunities, all those are gifts from God. Amen.
Amen.
But the word of God should never be put aside. The word of God should never be cut in our lives. Once we cut it, we remain vulnerable. The devil takes advantage of us. Amen.
Amen.
Remember, we are talking about keeping company. As Samson was growing up, his people were persecuted. But when the power of God came upon Samson, he fought the enemies and destroyed the enemies. It is my prayer this morning that God grants us that power through his name, that we should be able to stand and fight and overcome. Amen.
Amen.
As a child of God,
we're
supposed to guard our hearts. As Samson was supposed to guard his heart, Samson was required to get a wife from among the children of
Israel.
Amen. Amen. But you know what Samson did? He went and took a wife from among the Philistines. Amen.
Amen.
The very persecutor of his people gave him a wife. Now, of course, God, the Bible says God sought an occasion that he was going to use to strike the Philistines. So when Samson went into the land of Philistine to get a wife, it was God's opportunity to punish the children of the Philistines. Amen. So in the first place, he was not supposed to marry from the Philistines. Amen.
Amen.
Because that's the world. That's the world. So as children of God, we don't walk after the things of the world. Even the company that we keep must be a company of believers. Even when it comes to marriage, that is why the Bible requires that every Christian believer must marry in the Lord. Because once you marry from outside, the world has an agenda. The devil is not happy with your Christianity. The devil is not happy with the word that you are carrying. And he seeks an occasion when he can take it out of you and bring you down. So Samson was not supposed to go to the land of Philistine to get a wife. Because it is that wife who brought about his downfall. Amen.
Amen.
Now, this woman, because she was not a child of God, she was not a Christian, the Philistines were so perplexed, for the lack of a better word. They always probed to find out Samson's power and secret. Amen.
Amen.
And the closest. Was his wife. Amen.
Amen.
That was his weakness. I want to encourage you that as a child of God, find out what is your weakness. You may be strong, You may be prayerful. As long as there is that little crack which is your weakness, the devil won't come through the door because you will see him. He's going to use a little crack in the wall. And that little crack is one that should be addressed. So the devil used his wife to bring him down. Amen.
Amen.
And she started, you know, pestering him. Asking him, what is the secret of your power or your strength? He tried to dodge here and there. But you know, as long as you are not in the right place, one day, you fall down. It's like you're in a garden. There are ripe mangoes there. Ripe bananas there. There's everything ripe, nice fruits. And then they give you a commandment. They tell you, in this garden, don't even step a foot in there. Don't. No matter what happens, don't ever step a foot in that garden. Because those fruits you are seeing, they are not necessarily what you are seeing. It's just an appearance to your eyes for attraction. Don't go there. And then you, because you are a strong believer, you are prayerful. You say, I can even just take a walk in there. I'm just taking a walk. It is just a walk. Yes, first day you walk. Because you are strong. The next day, you walk in there. You look at the banana. The juice mangoes that are there. You start asking questions. Are they really dangerous? Amen?
Amen.
Maybe. Let me feel the texture. How does it even feel? You touch it. You are strong. Then another thought comes to say, you are not supposed to be here. You move on. Now, whatever activities that happened in that garden, when you go home, they start replaying in your mind. You say, those apples. But I don't see the way I felt it. It doesn't even... It's not that bad. Next day you go there. You're just taking a walk. You're just taking a stroll. Another banana.
Banana. Bimbi.
Looking yellow. Texture is so nice. Touch it. You pluck it. Let me see.
Was susula at Cambodia.
But it doesn't look that bad, does it? Let me just test it. I'm just testing it. Amen?
Amen.
I'll just put it on my lip. I'll just feel with my tongue. I'll just vomit it out. A little test. It tastes so sweet. So this is not as bad as we were taught. Amen.
Amen.
Before long,
you
are munching the whole thing.
Yes.
After all, it's sweet, and I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. Yeah, it's sweet. It tastes sweet now. Now it goes down your tummy, and then your tummy begins to grumble. Amen.
Amen.
That's when you see the real effect of the fruit. The question is, how did you find yourself in the garden? You were not supposed to step a foot in there. Don't even come closer to the garden. We are only human. That is why Apostle Paul, he doesn't say, run away from sin. He says, every form, every appearance, every appearance, avoid it. So the best way to avoid that fruit, stay away from it. Don't even look upon it. Switch off your mind. Live as if it does not exist. If it is to your east, avoid the eastern part. Amen.
Amen.
Samson was not supposed to come into the land of Philistines.
Samson,
they had nothing in common. Amen.
Amen.
They had nothing absolutely in common. Now, this woman was to be used by the devil, by the Philistines, to compel the servant of God to reveal his secret. Amen.
Amen.
He was supposed to guard his heart. He was supposed to guard the word of God in his heart. Now, when you look at your heart, your heart is protected by the ribcage. It is there for protection. When a stone comes, it will hit into the ribs first, and the heart will be protected down there because it is an important organ. So must we protect our spiritual heart as well, because once we expose it, the devil comes and devours it. Now, Samson kept on dodging. When she asks him, what is the secret of your strength? He kept on dodging until finally he begins to give in. Finally he begins to touch the ripe mango. Amen.
Amen.
For the first time, now there's a process. He didn't just go straight to revealing his secret. Read verses 15. Verses 15, yes. I think verses 15. Chapter 13, verses 15. Just a minute. No. Just a minute. Okay, it's chapter 16, verses. You can, if you want, you can read from 13, but 15. We can read from 15.
Edo ati dakuli wene, kuti mwati la shani na riku temwa, apo mutima wenu tauli kuli ine. Imiku itatu, mwankonya, nokunjiruila umuri amaka yenu yakalamba.
So now I'm very much interested in verses 13. It says, "And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith you might be bound. And he said unto her, if you weave the seven locks of my head with the web." Now, can you imagine? He starts by revealing the powers bit by bit. He mentions the locks. He mentions his hair. He was not supposed to talk about that. He was, as long as he wanted to keep it as a secret, he was not supposed to mention that. So he begins to reveal the secret slowly. He begins to walk in the garden, forbidden garden, slowly. Amen. He was not supposed to reveal that. Finally, the Bible says his heart was vexed because of her consistent pestering. He gave in. He got tired. His heart was vexed. And he revealed the secret. My secret is that my hair should never be cut. Once my hair is cut, my strength is gone. I want to remind you that when you expose what God has given you in your heart, the devil steals it. The devil removes it. So do not expose the secret, which is the word of God, that he has put in your heart. Protect it. Never let go of it. That which you received, protect it. Cover it. You know, one time Jesus gave a parable of a sower who went to spread his seeds. And the Bible says some of the seeds fell upon the wayside. Some of it on thorns, among the thorns. Some of the good ones fell in the good ground. Some of it fell upon the rock. Amen. Now, the one that fell upon the rock, the one that fell upon the wayside, the one that also fell up among the thorns, all these were exposed to the outside environment. The devil had a mastery upon their lives. He could do anything upon them. But the Bible talks about those that were in the good ground. In that good ground, they were covered. They were protected by the earth. So that seed is the word of God that we must always protect all the time. Because once it is taken, it is difficult for restoration. Consequences must follow. Amen.
Amen.
So Samson was not supposed to be there in the first place. You know what is important is not saying, I'm strong, I'm a child of God. What is important is company. What kind of company do you keep? Amen.
Amen.
If you are always found with people when you meet, their vocabulary is praise the Lord. Shalom, brother. God bless you. Before long, you also start saying that. Amen.
Amen.
But if you are always found with someone, a company, big group of people, that says the opposite, before long you also join in. And you know, sometimes if you want to know the character of someone, just look at their friends. That's it. Look at their friends. I don't need to go and ask him to say, what is your character? I just stand at a distance. I know that those are the friends they hang out with. I'll tell to say, okay, that's their behavior. Amen.
Amen.
So, company is very important. It shapes our speech. That is why school-going children, we need to be careful. Amen?
Amen.
School children, there's a spirit in schools. There's a way, you know, children talk. There's a way children address themselves. Amen.
Amen.
Exe. We are brothers. There's no exe. So, you school-going children, I'm addressing you now, your brothers and sisters. There's no exe among yourselves. If there's such a spirit among yourselves, pray that it does not come in your midst. That's the language of the world. Amen.
Amen.
So, show me your friends. And I will know the character. Amen.
Amen.
Now,
Number.
When Samson's hair was cut, the consecration of God had been taken away. The word of God had been removed. The covenant between Samson and God had been removed. He became vulnerable. He became like any common person. And the devil could do anything. He could manipulate him. He could abuse him. Literally everything. Amen.
Amen.
Now,
Number.
They plucked out his eyes. They removed all his eyes. Thinking that maybe if we keep him like this, he may not, he may not have thoughts of attacking and all that. They threw him in prison. Amen.
Amen.
When the word of God has been taken out of our lives, the devil throws you in prison. You become enslaved. You begin to do things that you were never meant to do.
Now,
when they threw Samson in prison, they started using him to grind stuff. A thing that he probably never did where he came from. So the devil threw him there, abused him, gave him work he was not supposed to do, and he was there, working, doing the work of the devil. Amen.
Amen.
But as he was there, he was a child of God. I believe he prayed day and night for God's restoration. Amen. I want to encourage you that the word that was taken away can be restored. Amen. The word that was taken away can be restored. Only if we submit wholeheartedly. Only if we humble ourselves. You know, God remembered
Samson.
At one point. But Samson had to pay a price. For his mistakes. Amen.
Amen.
So God can restore anyone. All you need to do is humble yourself. Do not contend with God. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the Philistines organized a feast. Remember, God, before this occasion, always looked for an opportunity when he could destroy the Philistines. And this was the time. They organized a feast. When Samson fell, they mocked him. They made fun of him. They insulted him. They insulted his God. Where is your God now? The mighty Samson. They made fun of him. To an extent that even a small child, he could push Samson.
Samson.
Amen.
Amen.
But God was not sleeping. He was watching all that. It was a matter of time. The hour of his restoration was approaching. And when the feast was going on, now, Samson had been turned into an entertainer. Amen.
Amen.
When you look at Samson, it was some kind of entertainment. So as they were about to do their sacrificing and the feast is going on, they said, bring in Samson. Amen.
Amen.
Bring in Samson.
Samson.
So that he can probably entertain us. So to them, it was purely entertainment. But the wrath of God was going to strike. Amen.
Amen.
Remember, Samson's downfall came through misplaced trust. In Delilah. So, child of God, never walk with the world. That's darkness and light. These two cannot walk together. Darkness always wants to overcome. So, darkness and light, these are two different things. So, relationships must be chosen wisely. Amen?
Amen.
Because that trust can one day destroy you as a child of God. Amen.
Amen.
They came in this place and they were drinking, they were eating. They were so happy. They ridiculed Samson. They insulted him. But their time was already up. Amen. Let's read in Judges 16:28. You can read, brother, 16:28.
Elio Samson alilile kuli Yehova nokutila mwe shikulu shinjibukisheni shinkoselesheni Umuku mofye, mweleza. Nokuleka, nandulwe muba Filisti, ichilandu shichimo, pamenso yandi yabiri.
Amen. So, he prays before God.
Aishire pepa.
He says, Lord,
mweleza.
Just one more time.
Umuku mofye.
When his hair had started growing back, the Philistine Philistines were blinded. Because to keep him weak, they were supposed to shave him always. To keep him weak. But they were clueless of that. The Bible says his hair started growing back. Because he prayed to God. You know, God saw his broken heart. God saw his contrite heart and began to restore him. He began to revive him. And at this moment, the Bible says he prayed to God just one more time, Lord. Just one more time. I don't know what is your situation. You may feel broken down. You may feel so dry. But you can ask God just one more time. Amen.
Amen.
Just one more time, Lord. Revive me. Amen.
Amen.
They humiliated him. But God restored him. He restored his strength. But Samson had to pay a price as well. He requested, please put me in between the two pillars. The two pillars that hold the building. Now, these people, what amazes me is they couldn't surely think about his motives. Put me in between the pillars that hold the building. And when they put him in between the pillars, he felt this side, felt this side. He knew that he was between the pillars. And he began to pray. Just one more time, Lord, that your name may be glorified. Let this uncircumcised Philistine see the greatness of your power. And God remembered him. God remembered his promise. God remembered his promise with Samson. He remembered his word. And the power that had gone out of Samson began to be restored. As he was leaning against the pillars, his muscles began to tighten. And to the Philistines, that was entertainment. They continued mocking him. "You're already finished. There's nothing that you can do." But God was actually in their midst. God was right behind Samson. And it was not the doing of Samson. It was the doing of God himself. Because God had to bring down the Philistines. As he was there, the power of God moved so mightily around Samson. It all started with a little crack. Maybe probably someone could have seen the crack. And rubbished it to say, "It's just a crack." The building began to shake. Amen.
Amen.
God moved his power in there and destroyed the Philistines. Amen.
Amen.
So what are we seeing from here? Even after failure, repentance opens doors to God's redemption. Our weakness can become a testimony of his power. Amen.
Amen.
What I want to encourage you this morning is that no matter the situation that you are in, God's redemption is always there. As long as you humble yourself, you yield yourself, you give yourself to Christ, there shall be a testimony. God does not forget his word. In whatsoever situation that you are in, the devil may have been allowed to do whatever he's done in your life. As long as you're a child of God, he still remembers his word. He doesn't forget his word. Amen.
Amen.
So, guard your heart. Discipline your ways. Check your company. Find yourself in the right place. It is not your muscles. It is the power of God. It was not Samson's muscles that mattered. But it was the power of God that came through Samson. Amen.
Amen.
You know, strength comes from God. You just standing up and walking from this point to there, that strength comes from God. Just waving your hand, that is strength from God. Every gift, every opportunity, every resource is a gift from God. Amen.
Amen.
May God bless you. Let me end here. Amen.